Welcome to my favourite Elliott Smith song. If you haven't listened to us before, we're all about keeping Elliott Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi and welcome to episode 5 of the season. Our guest today is musician Charlie Barnes. Charlie is a singer-songwriter based here in the UK, who also plays with the band Bastille. Charlie's a big Elliott Smith fan and was kind enough to share his thoughts on Bottle Up and Explode from the album EXO, as well as his interesting route to discovering the song, how Elliott has shaped his own approach, and much more besides. So here's Charlie Barnes talking to Elizabeth Woodstanley.
I'm Charlie Barnes, and I'm a singer-songwriter, session musician, producer, oftentimes van driver, and that's me. Like a lot of people who answer this question, it's like, yeah, so I've picked this one, but it's not actually my favorite, but I'm kind of following in that tradition a little bit. So I decided to go for what was probably one of the first Elliott Smith songs that I knew was an Elliott Smith song. At least I didn't actually hear the Elliott version first, but it's Bottle Up and Explode.
Oh, interesting. You didn't hear the Elliott version first.
Yeah, so I grew up and got into music in my teens, as obviously everyone does. But it was, you know, long before the times of YouTube and streaming services and you know, kind of being able to have access to absolutely everything straight away. So, you know, Elliott Smith was a name that I did read a lot, you know, in sort of music magazines that I was buying and on, you know, internet forums and stuff that, you know, like teenagers back then spent a lot of time sitting around on. So he was like kind of in my periphery, but I hadn't actually heard anything knowingly. I mean, other than the stuff that was in the Royal Tenenbaums, but I didn't know. That was him when I was watching that movie. But it was obviously when he died, I think I was seeing a band like either that day or the next day or something, and they did a cover of one of his songs. I can't remember what that was. But then a few people started kind of, you know, putting tributes and stuff up online, and it was a band that I at the time was like pretty crazy about, a band called My Vitriol. They uploaded a cover of Bottle Up and Explode. And I thought, oh, all right, that's interesting. That's cool. Then it was, you know, a little while after that that, you know, through a forum friend on MSN Messenger, like sending me various favorite Elliott Smith songs, I started to be like, oh, okay, now I think I'm starting to understand why all of these people are, you know, such huge fans of this guy. This is amazing.
I think that's a first. I don't think we've talked to somebody who started with a cover first and then discovered the actual version. So
I think that was just, like I say, it's just by way of my family were sort of refused to spend much money on a decent internet connection, so I couldn't really, not by way of any kind of huge virtue or responsibility for copyright law or whatever, but I didn't really do a lot of the kind of downloading thing when, you know, Napster was going on.
So my
access to new music was like reasonably limited, right, in a way. And it was mostly, you know, friends would send like one or two songs over MSN Messenger. Was a good way of, you know, friends sharing things around. Obviously, that's completely illegal as well, but it was, you know, it was wholesome in its way. And then actually going and, you know, buying CDs and stuff that sounded interesting or that I'd read about or that I'd heard at a friend's house or whatever.
And for a round of overexposure, the thing Mother Nature provides, to get up and go.
So interesting to hear how you came about to the music. So now sort of diving into this particular song. So, you know, what draws you to Bottle Up and Explode?
I think that, like, one of the, like, I was thinking about talking about Elliot Smith in, you know, official podcast form. I was trying to think about, you know, what other than just the story of it being pretty much the first song of his that I heard. I kind of was hoping to choose something that, while it might not be the song of his that, like, grabs my heartstrings the hardest or whatever, might be a song that contains lots of the elements that I think illustrate, like, just how brilliant he was, essentially. And I think there's a lot musically in here that just kind of shows off what a genius he was. So, like, one of the sort of hallmarks, I think, of like the greatest Elliot Smith writing is, like, those intros, like the guitar intros. There are so many amazing examples of him, like, in the course of 10 or 15 seconds, like, creating such a perfect mood and, like, incorporating so much of what is to come, but just really elegantly and beautifully. And, like, I think this is such a good example of that. It's like, it's just a killer intro. The guy, yeah, he knew how to start a song big time.
What about lyrically, what he's doing with the song?
I mean, like, the very first line is it's one that does really grab you, doesn't it? Like, bottle up and explode over and over. Like, I feel like many of us can relate to that. You know, I mean, like, it in a way gives me images of that. This is a odd reference, but, like, there's an episode of The Simpsons where Ned Flanders finally explodes with rage. It sort of makes me think of that. They're like, we've all got so much that we, try and keep a lid on. An opening line like that, you sort of, even if you're not necessarily like a I hear the lyrics first type person, like, if it's more arrangement and music and harmony that sort of hits you first, like, that is a really strong opening line to pull you in.
The song's an interesting pick, like, as you mentioned, like, it's not a song that I've actually thought a ton about before. Like, I like it when I hear it, but I hadn't really really thought about it. I think today I was, you know, sort of reading the lyrics and thinking about it a bit more and, you know, wondering what he's getting at. And it seems to allude to a bit of a narrative where there's, like, a part of him that he's hiding inside.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
Because, yeah, I wonder, looking at it, like, the second verse where he's kind of talking in the second person, like, you look at him like you've never known him. You'd never know for sure, but, like, one could wonder, when he's saying you, is he actually talking to himself from outside himself, that sort of way of writing? Like, I wonder if that might be
what's that's what I was thinking today when I was thinking about it more. I mean, so I think, you know, something that Elliot does with his music lyrically is he's sort of set up this world where there's you know, some truth to the narrative that he's telling us in the songs, but it's also very distant and very open to interpretation and very layered. So somehow he's mastered, you know, sort of these genuine feelings and thoughts worked into these narratives that are a little bit like a step or two away from him, which is, you know, probably pretty challenging to do.
It's the mark of like a truly great songwriter, I think. Like, you know, someone like another Smith, but Robert Smith is probably another example of someone who has, you know, it is probably mining their own life in some places, but then also managing to just take small elements from here and there and like build world after world after world that is convincing and feels authentic and like and believable. I think that's something that's quite important to me when I'm listening to music, is like I really need to feel like I believe it. And with Elliot, obviously, hands down, you talk about conviction and stuff being real, and it's plain to see, or to hear rather, with his work. It's so special.
Look at him like you've never known him, but I know for a fact that you have. The last time you cried, who'd you think was inside, thinking that you were about to come home?
So you mentioned, you know, really enjoying the beginning of the song, and, you know, he's musically setting us up sounds, I think, that you can feel those words, bottle up and explode.
Yeah. So like immediately in the first two chords, because you get that dissonance that comes in straight away, like, you know, you it's sort of suggesting that there is going to be some kind of explosion. You know, there's a tension and a drama to moves like that, and then obviously as the song progresses, like, you know, in terms of the production and the arrangement, more things come in, and I think just done in such a masterful way. Like there's something about the way that like the rhythmic feel of this one pushes and pulls, that I think is exemplary of how much he manages to get in such a short space of time. Like I remember when I first had, you know, the little set of like say five or six songs that a friend had sent to me of his, I was kind of amazed that somebody could fit that many ideas and have something that feels like it covers that much ground in only like 2 or 3 minutes. Like a lot of his songs are like quite short. Mm-hmm. Certainly compared to the kind of stuff that I was into a lot at the time anyway. But I think there's stuff in terms of just like the feel of the drums as the song goes on. Like he switches between like half time and double time and whatever in the drums, and like the feel of the drums changes like from line to line in certain areas of the song, which is just like a really hard thing to get right and to feel natural and to feel like you are moving through without it being clunky or whatever. Like it's really difficult stuff to pull off musically, but it just means that he can take you on so much of a journey in such a short space of time.
And the singing is kind of interesting on this song too. I was thinking about, you know, when he chooses to emphasize or de-emphasize some of the lyrics.
Interesting.
That seems not typical. Like, I found it curious, right, to that he's not like singing it in a big kind of grand way.
Yeah.
It's more sort of dialed back. And then there's certain parts that get really dialed back.
Yeah.
Which I found intriguing.
Yeah. Like stuff like the towards the end where it's bottle up and go, I can make it outside. Like that outside, it's sort of because of the arrangement that's going on around it, you think of it as being one of those like big dramatic performance notes that really like takes off, but actually like it is quite restrained the way that he sings that part, which is again like a real trait of his stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't it, like just being able to convey all of that intensity and like rage sometimes, but in such a kind of quiet and restrained manner.
I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that you touched upon is he did a lot in this little song. And that I think it's something that rings true with his music, that it's very layered, both musically and conceptually, in what he's saying in the songs, leaving it open, you know, for interpretation, but specific enough that, you know, you can grab on to something.
Yeah, yeah, totally. In terms of the lyrics and like relatability, in spite of the fact that he is managing to obscure like specifically what this may or may not be about, but like he uses little kind of familiar sounding phrases and like almost like quite mundane expressions, like the sort of "but I'm tired now of waiting for you" line is like it feels very relatable and easy to grab onto, but yeah, then it's like surrounded by all of this other imagery that's like maybe confusing things a little bit. Like I mean, red, white and blue is an interesting one. Like what's the connotation there? I mean, obviously it immediately kind of makes you think of flags and stuff, and you know, particularly with the stars surrounding you, but it feels like he's got like he's put a lot under the hood there for us to try and pick apart. Like he's saying something pretty specific, I think, for him. But for us, we can like read into it however we like.
So you started with Bottle Up and Explode as your introduction to Elliott Smith. And then did you move on to the rest of XO? Or what was your progression?
I had like this, like I said, this kind of odd little EP almost that a friend had sent me over the internet. Of just their like handful of favorites, and it was as many songs as we could transfer in the amount of time that I was allowed to be on the computer and my terrible internet connection could manage to download. So it had like Miss Misery on there. It was kind of a lot of big hitters, I think. So you know, Miss Misery, Say Yes, Somebody That I Used to Know was on there, Ballad of Big Nothing, and then the other one, and this was the one that really like kind of sort of, you know, really blew my mind a little bit and made me think, oh, I feel like I might have just found one of my all-time favorites here, I Didn't Understand. Like it's that kind of, so totally a cappella, just beautiful, powerful thing was very affecting, and I hadn't really heard anything like it at that point, because you know I was in my young teens at this point. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, you know, growing up and getting more context about Elliott and his influences and things like that, and obviously then also hearing like later down the line his cover of Because by the Beatles, like I feel like he kind of took influence and took an idea, and like I'm a huge Beatles fan, but I really think he kind of outdid the Beatles there. Like it's such an unbelievable piece of music. And but yeah, I was kind of stuck with basically that handful of songs for quite a while. And then pretty much just slowly but surely picked up. I think I was kind of EXO and Either Or for a while, and then spread my my sights a little bit wider and picked up Figure Eight and the first two. And that's for the most part, that's kind of been where I've stayed. But in recent years, as the addiction has become, you know, harder to satisfy, I've like broadened my horizons a little bit. I think particularly with someone who's not around anymore, it can maybe be sensible sometimes to like take your time and leave yourself some doors to open as the years go on, because you know, if like every single thing you find is like so precious, because you know that, you know, there's only a finite amount that you can get through.
And at the time you started listening to Elliot, you had already begun to play music or to learn how to play music, correct?
yeah that's right. Yeah, I sort of picked up guitar when I was 13 and didn't put it down, and I was, you know, probably about 15 I think when Elliot's music started properly coming into my life.
And then you went on yourself to, you know, develop a career as a musician. You put out an album last year?
Yes, I did. That was like the first one that I've put out in quite a while. So I used to be on a record label called Superball Music, which was a label that was kind of set up to try and be a home for a lot of the sorts of bands that I like loved a bit, like bands like Ocean Size and Amplifier and 65 Days of Static, all of these kind of like British weird alternative rock superstars, to me anyway, they're superstars. And I ended up on that label and did like a couple of albums with them, but then we parted ways because I wasn't really making music that made sense for that label anymore. Mm. But I just sort of I'd been going down the same sort of path really of like not being entirely sure how I wanted to sound, and like trying to pull in a lot of a very wide array of influences, and it was like I had this pool of work and most of what felt like an album that I was working on, and then like between my touring commitments with Bastille, which is like has been my main job for the last 10 years, and then the bits of time that I got at home to sort of sit and go through things and think about it, like I was listening to Elliot a lot over the course of like a couple of years of touring, and listening to this podcast a lot over the course of a couple of years of touring. And I sort of started ending up with a bit of a like almost what would Elliot do type mentality in certain places. And like I'd for years had been doing all of this really like high pitched, like belty singing, and like modeling myself on a very different kind of music, and I felt like I, through like listening to a lot of Elliot Smith and thinking about his work and yeah, like listening to you guys a lot, I sort of realized that what was maybe a bit more true to what I actually really like about music and what I really want to do with music would be to, you know, bring things down a bit and show a lot more restraint and just enjoy that things can be a bit more, you know, quiet. Which isn't to say that like I've made an album of like acoustic guitar things on a cassette 4-track. Like there's still a lot of silly stuff in there, but like, you know, it definitely he sort of, you know, helped guide me here and there a little bit in how this stuff developed.
And then just kind of rounding things out a little bit here, you know, it was interesting to hear you say, I mean, you really felt or feel that Elliot brought something unique to that song, which I guess is maybe a challenge of covers, right? Cover? What am I, you know, what do I want to do with this? And I'm curious, do you still, what's your feeling about the original cover that you heard of Elliot's song?
It's an interesting one. I don't want to, like, I guess it's odd that, like, hey, it's cool. We all grow up, we all change, we all move on from things. Some of the music that we thought was the absolute be-all and end-all when we were 14 years old, we look back and we think, you know, maybe that's not for me anymore. But hey, it's a path, and I'm not going to be too mean to myself about some of my interests when I was younger, because some of those interests led me to such great interests and such glowing examples of the brilliance of music. But I guess it's that specific cover. I mean, I feel like probably the circumstances of it were they just wanted to put out a tribute to Elliot because his music had meant a lot to them, and that they wanted to, you know, mark that in some way. I think they like put it up on their sort of studio blog thing on the where they were documenting the album that they never ended up actually making, I don't think. It sort of sounds a little bit like that sort of like, oh, okay, well, everything's set up, so let's just kind of, you know, rattle this off reasonably quickly. It was, you know, it wasn't the sort of super intricate finger picking arrangements and whatnot that you kind of get sometimes with these things. It is much more of a straight up, you know, just kind of down picking straightforward cover. So I did listen to it again ahead of talking about this just to make sure that I hadn't like dreamt the whole thing or whatever. But you know, it's a nice little nod to it. But like I do remember when I then, because it would have been like years between me hearing that cover and then hearing the actual version. And then I remember like the first time I actually heard it, listening to the album, and when you get that whole explosion and the guitar solo, where like later on there's, you know, either like the mellotron or his vocal or something, he's doing like a harmony with the guitar solo. I was just like totally bowled over by how much stuff there was in this song. And I guess I was expecting, because the cover version that I first heard was pretty stripped back and straightforward, and then the songs that I'd mostly been listening to were like Somebody That I Used to Know and Say Yes, like the more kind of straight up acoustic guitar stuff. I was pretty blown away by hearing this like this enormous like just expansive and intricate arrangement come out of this song. So it if anything, the cover version set me up for loving the real version so much more, which right. is nice. So that's a good thing for the cover to have done.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's always interesting. I mean, I haven't heard the cover. I'm curious to listen to it now, but it's always interesting to me when there's somebody that I don't expect that does a cover of Elliot Smith.
Yeah.
So I enjoy kind of listening to those versions, and it's,
there was like that weird Madonna one, right? When was that? I was like, I remember that being put on Pitchfork like 10, 15 years ago or something. That made no sense, but you can't not look, right?
Thank you.
Is there anything else about Elliott Smith that we didn't touch upon that you're just dying to tell us about?
He's just been such a firm part of my listening life for such a long time, and you know, it's great having someone that you can listen to repeatedly and like just keep finding new things, and then keep having, you know, other songs that maybe hadn't stuck out to you so much in your early listens to a certain album or something, start to find new meaning and whatever. Several seasons of a podcast down, and you can still just keep talking about how great this music is, right? It's so special. I'm glad that cover version turned me on to it.
Thanks very much to Charlie for being a great guest. And if you want to find out more about Charlie and his work, you can find him on Instagram at Charlie Barnes Music. That's pretty much it for today. Just the usual request before I go to follow us on social media. We're at My Fave E. Smith Song. And please do rate and review us on your podcast app of choice too. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with a new episode in 2 weeks' time.